Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, tonight. We are gathered, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, to remembrance, to remember, Lord, your ordinances. How beautiful, Lord, are thy word of life. Granted us, O Lord, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, in his blood. And the wisdom of Lord is flow from Calvary's tree, that the pierced side that flow forth water and blood. And Lord, we thank you for the water of thy word. Even when we heard it, we were convicted and we went into the water. And to take your name, to be baptized, to have our sin remitted. And Lord, we came forth out of it, O Lord, with a new life, a new creation. And tonight, Lord, we are gathered here. Oh, we have just done our feet washing. Lord, you remember of how that, Lord, you humble yourself. And you taught us, taught your disciple lessons to learn, Lord, to humble ourselves before one another, to serve one another, and pray for one another, and to love one another. Amen. Father, we pray that, Lord, your Spirit will knit us together in this love in Jesus Christ, in the scarlet thread of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that the circle of the family of God will not be broken. Father, we thank you tonight. Even now we come to thy word, Lord, you break down the word of life to us. The Lord, later as you approach the table, may Lord, we remember what Jesus performed that very night to bring forth that new covenant with that few disciples that sat at the table with him. And that it is to this disciple who thou sent forth, Lord Jesus, as your apostles, that throughout the world, when they minister the word of life, and you said, Father, that through them, that our word that goes forth will bring forth fruit. That those who have ears to hear and believe the word that you have sent unto them to us, Lord, and to believe in what they say, Lord, and to having recorded all those things in the Holy Book itself also. The Lord, in hearing what the apostles said, souls were converted. Amen. Because your Spirit was given upon those who have ears to hear. And we thank you tonight, Father. Break down the word of life not to us, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Alright. If you have your Bible, you tell me to the book of Numbers, chapter 50. Now tonight I want to deal with a subject, hopefully within the hour. God's dealing with mankind through the ages. Now I want you to know that how God deals with people today is not the same as the way he dealt with people in the beginning of creation and after creation, after the flood. God is still the same God. He never changed his mind about his word. But there are times when God permitted man certain things. You understand? Like polygamy. It wasn't God's. God never endorsed polygamy. Polygamy was never in the mind of God. God did not institute polygamy. But God permitted for such a time. Then at all, you see, the Lord came. How God dealt with people differently. But I want you to tell you this, that tonight, while you are living in this present generation, God deal with us in a very, very strict way. Because what they have in those days, they don't have what we have now. I want you to know that. That's why there is a great price that was paid by God himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. And his word was crucified time and time again. One time I was on the cross. It was not enough. People crucified the second time. How many times must people crucify the word of God before their eyes are open? So I want to go quickly with you about God's dealing with mankind through the ages. So I want to take my back to the days of Noah. Now, you know, after sin came and people began to multiply. The static line, the Canaanite line. The serpent's seed and the pure seeds, they belong to Seth. And that which belonged to King. And they began to hybrid, intermarried. They caused a giant to be born. In three generations, giants were born. And the Bible said they're more wicked. It was so bad that you know God had to call it to a halt. And it was in the days of Noah, the 10th generation from Adam, that God finally called it to a halt. And he granted man, he said that my spirit will no longer strive with man, for his days are numbered 120 years. And the oldest man that we have in the Bible recorded was 969 years old, Methuselah. Right? And the age began to come down after the flood. 400, 300, 200 in the days of Abraham, 180. And by the time it came right down to Moses, 120, that's when the law was given. There's always a mocking point. If you study the Bible carefully, there's always a mocking point how that God began to bring down the age of man. And they said about how he dealt with man. So when we look at Abraham, you know, in the days of the flood, before the flood, the children of Seth, they don't worship idols. They don't have idols. Remember that. It was Satan's so-called wisdom of himself to try to bring about a destruction to God's plan. Thwarting God's plan. So he got the Kenite people to intermarry with the Semitic people. So by the time that when he comes down to that period of time of Noah, it seems that the whole population of the world were all literally mixed up. That you find hardly pure seeds at all. The only pure seed of the firstborn that ever existed was Noah. We do not know about Lamech's other sons, or that is to say, Noah's brothers, whether to take a Kenite wife or not, the Bible don't tell us that. But the Bible does tell us one thing that I'm very sure. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know that when we look into Genesis carefully, it seems that he was the only pure Semitic firstborn, pure firstborn Semitic or Semite. What happened to the rest of them? Probably gone. What about his uncle? What about his cousin? Nephew? His own brothers? Did they marry the woman of the other tribes? The Kenite people? The Serpentine people? But yet, Noah married Naamah. And Naamah was from the other side. The Bible didn't tell you that. People always ask me, Brother Ken, what did the Bible say that Noah married Naamah? My question is, do we have a revelation? Why did God put a woman's name in the Bible? You need to know. Right? The Bible said what? Go to the book of Genesis, quickly. Let's go to Genesis first. We don't want to go number. Let's go to Genesis quickly now. Because I'm going to share with you tonight many questions that came in the last 2 weeks. A lot of people have questions, no doubt about it, of course. Now, in Genesis chapter 4. And I want you to see here that verse 19 tells us that Lamech took unto himself two wives. The name of the first one was called Adah, the other was called Zillah. And Adah bare Tubal-Jabbah. And he was the father of such as dwell in tent, and such as have cattle. And his first name was Juba, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. Full stop. That should be it. But what did the Bible tell you? And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. Why mention the woman's name in the genealogy? And why did the Bible tell us that the firstborn of Adah was Jabba, that he was the father of such a dwelling tent and such a cattle? Why must it tell us this? Why the other verses of Scripture do not? The Bible, God gave a hint, a clue. And this clue is not for everybody to know. I want to let you know this. People can study that, and yet today they could not find the answer. Why? What did the Bible tell us then? What did he not tell us the other one? Like Enoch was born, Arai was born, you know, and Mahujaya. What did they tell us what they do? Right? What in this particular place it tells us? Then Lamech's first wife had the name Ada. Why mention the wife's name? And then the son who was born was a cattle herder. And dwells in tent. And then his second wife, that he was that he gave her to, and his brother was Juba, and he was the father of such the handle, the harp, and organ. The second son, now is an artifact, the one who makes instruments, musical instruments. Then Zillah, the second wife, verse 22, gave birth to Tubal-Cain. Now he tells us that he was instructor of artifacts in brass and iron. Good, simple. That give me an understanding. The Lamech was the last of the pure serpent seed. The firstborn serpent seed. God only record the firstborn. You understand? God don't record the secondborn, the thirdborn. He's not interested. As long as the firstborn is pure, the line keep on going. The firstborn. If a man has three sons, the firstborn continue in the line of many in their own kind. The name will continue. The second son, third son, wherever they married, paria, hybrid, whatever, God doesn't record it down. The Bible is clear on this. So what did the Bible tell this man? That the first son, joining cattle, was a cattle herder, and joining tent. That means to tell me that his first wife, Lamech's first wife, was a Satan. The son took the nature of hers. The second wife, Zillah, was artificial, was a sort of artifacts. Means that tell us one thing. Zillah was a Kenic, was a Kenite. But now that's okay. Then he tells us that his son was Tubal-Cain. And he had a sister called Naama. Why put a woman there? What's the purpose? You want to know the truth? Go ask the Jew. I didn't know that the Jew had the answer. God showed it to me and found out what it was. There was no marrying her. And that's why we have Noah, the pure seed, and Naama, a Kenic. And a mother produced three sons. That's why all the three sons are all mixed. That's why we have the supernature in us, all of us. But you see what? Because the gene of Noah was predominant. What's the dominant one? I mean, what's the, what do you call that? Not recessive, dominant. What is that? Is that the word to say? Dominant. Yeah, it's dominant gene. So that's why only the man always bear the family line. So Ham, Shem, and Japheth, all three of them came from Noah and his wife. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that we are all, every one of us came from one blood. And that one blood was traced to Noah and his wife, not traced back to Adam. We are not Adamic people. Denomination of times that we are born, we are all Adamic men. No, we are not. We are traced back to Noah. If you say that you are Adamic, then you are pure. Because after that, the Bible tells us nobody is pure after the flood. All the three sons, whether you are Indian, Chinese, white, yellow, brown in color, every one of us are traced back to that same source. That's right. But only the thing is that how many percent of you come from Japheth or Shem and Ham? Because we are so mixed. Now, white people may say they came from Japan. Well, generally it is. But there are a lot of white people that are actually mixed too. For example, well, anybody who's in America is called Cohen. Yet he comes to America as white. He's actually partly Jewish, Shemite. That's right. And you have Albert Einstein. He's a Jew. He was a Jew. Right? But you wonder how much of a pure Jew he was? Nobody knows. And in me, as a Chinese, I believe I have some Shemite blood and some Hanic blood. How many percent? I don't know. We're all traced back to the three sons of Noah. So in those days that you see, there was no idol worship yet. But the Canaanite people, yes, they were worshipping idol. That's why Satan was trying to bring a disruption to the plan of God. Oh, after the flood, the population started to multiply. Ham's people migrated south, Saudi Arabia, Ethiopia, Africa. Shemite people migrated up to Europe. The Shemite people stayed right where they are, in the Middle East. Some migrated. Because there are two men that I know in the Bible, one of them called Peleg, and his brother is called Jotham. He migrated eastward. And that's what we have, the eastward, going through Iran to China. And that's why the Chinese character, in ancient character, are very similar to the Hebrew character. And even the record about the flood was already in China. And they were already worshipping one God. But then you know how Satan works his plan. So by the time that Abraham came around, about 800 years after the flood or so, the people of Abraham, they were all worshipping all kinds of, you know, they have all kinds of ideas about God. Yeah, they worship Yahweh. They worship Yahweh. Ham worship Yahweh. Shem worship Yahweh. Shabbat worship Yahweh. But each one worship Yahweh according to their ideas, their opinion, their approach. Even today about in Christianity, right? You know, look at how Christians approach God. The Catholic approach God in one way, through Mary. Through the saints. Is that right? Isn't it? Uh-huh. The Protestant, well, they have their own Trinity. Their ideas. Even the communion were all practically wrong. They don't believe anybody made foot washing. So you see, people have idea about how to approach God. But God cannot be approached according to the ideas of men. God has a way for you to approach Him. And it's all laid out in Scripture. But because the church went to 2,000 years of gibberish, babbling, whatever come up from the pulpit, by men who are intellectual who think that they know something, but they know nothing. Look at Paul. Paul was a zealous man, a Pharisee, he's a Pharisee like he called himself, right? Member of the Sanhedrin. He thought he was doing God a service. He loved God, he loved the prophets. But he had no inkling of the truth of God's word. He thought he knew. He thought he was doing God a service. My, how many people think they know? They know God. They think that they are doing God a service. And yet they don't realize they are destroying the very plan of God that God is doing. Right. That's a Plato, the philosopher, said what? Don't think you know what you do not know. Don't. There are people that think they know what they don't know. And they stand in the pulpit and they're utter garbage. That's what we are seeing, not in denomination, but we are seeing anti-message. No wonder there's so much confusion. No wonder the end time, as Bob Abraham said when he draw that seven church age at the moon, he says, it's just a little white space there. But he said, actually, he's seen nothing. Total darkness, but he's going to put a little white spot there to show that there is that little bitty light that is shining in the field that are in the world. And you ever heard him what he said about the rapture? How many will go up in the rapture? He said maybe 1% of 1%. Right, isn't it? Kind of scary, huh? It's true. How many went into the ark? How many?
Eight.
Four couples. Eight people went to the ark. Right? That's it. How many million were in those days? It's supposed to be estimated, I think, 800 million people in those days. And eight only. How many percent is that? What about the children of Israel? It is estimated that it's about 3 to 4 million people that came out of Egypt, and it's a mixed multitude. And how many went into the Canaan land? How many crossed Jordan and go into the promised land? How many? All those who are 20 and above. Only two. Every one of them died up there in the wilderness. They said they believe in God, but when they see the giant, we cannot take it. You said you believe, and you give it up. That's a human issue. So we are living in an end time like this. And when we look to the scripture in the day when God called Abraham, already idols being worshipped. How you look at his son, look at Jacob's family later on. They are all carrying little idols with them. And we read it, we studied it. That God told Jacob, and Jacob told them, now take away all this idol and clean yourself and change your garment. And I'll tell you what a garment means. You know, your kind of religious garment you're wearing, some kind of image you carry. That's like I said. If I'm a Hindu priest, for example, wear a saffron robe. And if I'm converted to Christ, and I say I am a preacher, God called me, I come up to the pulpit and I wear the saffron robe. What is that? Why do I want to wear a saffron robe? Change your garment! Anything that is bad, remove it away. You are no longer a Hindu priest. And you stand in my pulpit, God would say. And you don't deliver in that garment. No. You see. A widow. A woman. You know, one who lost a wife. What does she wear? She wore black normally. Day of mourning, maybe 100 days, maybe 30 days, I don't know how many days people mourn. Once the day is past, do you think she still wear that widow's garment in mourning? No. On the day of the funeral, people wear sackcloth, right? You've seen sackcloth in Asia, we see that in our country here. Maybe not over in America, only that they wear black and all that for one thing. Or 2 or 3 days perhaps, and that's over. You don't continue to wear that sackcloth. So our life is past. If I was a Hindu priest, and if I became a convert, and God called me to be a preacher, I certainly would not stand here wearing that Hindu garment. Because I'm not a Hindu priest anymore. That's past. That's the old life. God made me a new creature. But yeah, when God called Abraham, you know one thing, don't forget it. There are people in the Mesopotamian people. Abraham was living there. Yeah, there were also Hamic people living there as well. There were Javanese people living there. All they approached Yahweh. Yeah, the only one God that didn't know. But they approached God with all their idol stuff. And by Yahweh disappeared in their memory. Don't you think that's how you appear? Why did the Catholic worship Mary? And Jesus is no longer the center of the Catholic life. Who is the person who is the center of the Catholic life? Those of your ex-Catholic will know. It's Mary. It's Mary. Right? And the prayer and the offering of praise. Surely of them came in the beats. And all the signs that make with the hand. There's no virtue in that. In old days, God was using, as you already studied, why did God use all those rituals? After the flood. Before there were no ritual, right? They were just offering of sacrifices, alright? Yeah. But why did God later on use ritual? Bring the people to Abraham and then talk to Abraham about all these things. What? About this covenant. Okay, slinger. Take this animal, these three animals. What was that? A heifer? A goat? And a ram, I think. And a pigeon and a dove, right? Cut into half, except for the birds. Laying in the path. Where did that come from? That come from a civilization practiced. God has to use that. Because he cannot suddenly change everything. Because people cannot accept it. Because people find hard to accept. But in Christianity, you tell a woman when you become a Christian, stop wearing and behave like a man. They find it hard. Give up your secret. Give up your whatever. Someone, they find it very hard. Isn't that right? True. God is why God do his way in a particular way. He take Abraham out, taught Abraham little by little. That's my God. And he's dealing with mankind all these ages. But then, as time goes on, he sent the prophets. Right? But they were this nation of Israel. Send prophets. Only the prophet, the law came. So Moses, the law came. Now God give them commandments to heal the line, to hold the line, to hold the people. Cut off, heal down all those things that, you know, he considered it abomination. It's an idol's abomination. Thou shalt not have. Thou shalt not make thyself graven images. But why are the Catholic churches doing that? And why are the Branhamite churches doing that? Why? Why? They put a photograph of Brother Branham in front of the pulpit with a halo. That's an idol. Don't have any images. They even have it on their tie. In Africa especially. I saw it. I was there. Like a campaign button. Vote for Donald Trump. You know, you got Donald Trump picture there. Hillary Clinton picture. You know, the button thing that you can buy. They want it. And then they make that. A Brother Branham with a helmet. Wear it or even print it on their tie. The Bible is not about William Branham. The Bible is not about Luther. Right? It's not about these men, how great they are. We know they are great. But the Bible, the central theme of the Bible, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. God revealed in Christ. And yet, know what Jesus said? He always pointed to the Father. But yet, the Bible revealed him. He pointed to the Father. Is that alright? Yes. So, people say, oh, good rabbi. And I said, that's not good, but God, worship him. You see, people just don't seem to understand scriptures. And the heart of God dealt with Jacob. Oh, God was really patient. Just, Jacob, we have studied, was a supplanter, a conniver, a deceiver. God had to teach him a lesson and send him out to Laban to be taught that there is somebody great who is a greater deceiver than you are. You know, some people said, some people get angry very easily, very fierce. No one's thinking, "Ma, you are fierce. They are those are fiercer than you." Obviously, right? You say you are angry. You haven't seen the anger of God yet, huh? You probably watched the Fantastic Four, the house or something. Don't make me angry. Don't make me angry. It's to come a house, right? What do you when God gets angry? And the whole world will be set on fire. That's right. And when he sat on the throne, did the Bible say, the heavens flee from him? Because when judgment day comes, we will see how many people will be standing there trembling before the Lord. That's what God is. He is patient now. He's full of grace and mercy. But don't take his grace and make it into a disgrace. He dealt with Jacob. He dealt with Saul. King Saul. How he dealt with David. Huh? When the Lord came, wow. Even after the Lord, there's still a lot of people with all that idea of, you know. They don't keep the law. They do whatever they want. They offer to God what? What did the law say? That you give God a sacrifice. What do you mean by giving God a sacrifice? What did the book of Malachi tells us? Before God shut down the whole of men's, he's dealing with men for 400 years. From the book of Malachi to the John the Baptist when he came, was 400 years of silence. God had enough of dealing with Israel. His people, you know. God is not just dealing with them, he's dealing with the people. With a people. That's why he called Abraham. 40 years of silence. Malachi, the last book, what did they say in chapter 3? They offered to God what? Lamb? Sheep? Lamb? Sickly one? My oh my. You love God, and how could you offer God something like that? That you would not even give to a friend, a sick cow? Right? A love over food. I remember one time when we were living in another area, our neighbor, the most superstitious people. He'll give us coffee, love over coffee. It's cold, and I could smell it, it was sour. You know, coffee left over too long, sour. What is this? And of course, they are not Christian. I mean, they are some kind of a superstitious people. They don't throw away food or something. Now, would you want to offer to God all these things that is not whole and healthy? Terrible. 400 years, then grace came. Look at the book of Numbers chapter 5, 15, verse 25. Numbers 15, 25 to 27. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel. And it shall be forgiven them. For it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of children of Israel, and a stronger and a stranger that sojourned among them. See, all the people were in ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she goat of the first year for sin offering. Now, those were the days. You can read a lot of these ignorance verses around. God said, "Oh, these people are ignorant. Okay. You know, do this, I'll forgive their sin," and so on and so forth. But today, those days are past. Don't go back to those days and say, "Oh God, I'm ignorant, you know. You forgive those people are ignorant? Forgive me, because I'm ignorant." But when you know the word of God, you say like this, you are in trouble. In those days, you know why? God can overlook because they did not have the Holy Spirit baptism. You have the Spirit baptism. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I'm ignorant. Every so often, everything is ignorant to you. What is the word of God given for? It's given to you to guide you, to see that you may know the plan and the purpose of God. People don't care about it. They're not Christians. I'm not talking about ordinary people. I'm talking about people who are called God's people. I don't need to know this. I don't need to know that. Because I know a lot of people don't want to know. It's because why? What did the Bible say? The more that you have, the more that is required of you. So I don't want too much. So I don't have any responsibility. Let me tell you something. If you are in that kind of shape, you have missed the plan and the purpose of God. Because I want to tell you something. Not every Christian is going to make the rapture. I don't care how good you are a Christian. Because there is a mystery embedded in the book of God. They will tell you the time, the hour when He comes. Are you going to miss it? Yes. How many are you going to miss it? Look, when the first coming of Jesus, how many people miss it? How many Pharisees and Sadducees, they read the Bible, he's coming, he's going to born of a virgin and Bible, this. And when John the Baptist came to forerun Christ, they didn't even know who this person was. Right? Isn't it? And when Jesus came, they argued with Him. Who are you? Moses we know. Abraham we know. Daniel we know. Ezekiel we know. All these prophets we know. But who are you? We heard that you are born a bastard son. Before your father ever married your mother, Mary. Mary was probably a child. You are illegitimate. Wow. Did they understood that? What the Bible said about behold, virgins are conceived? What was supposed to be Bethlehem Ephratah? Isn't it? Did they recognize it? No. They want Him to be crucified the day that He stopped preaching. 300 years later, their wish came true. Right? They didn't realize it. Of course, who they were killing. So if you don't know the Bible, the way it should be. I'm not telling you to know the Bible according to tradition. We don't believe in tradition. Today, Acts 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. I don't care what ignorance it is and whatever. Whether ignorance that, I don't know how to receive the Holy Ghost baptism, or I'm ignorant about how to take communion. Then you learn. A lot of people don't want to learn. They just want to hide themselves like an ostrich, put their head in the sand. You know, there are a lot of things that I do not know in the Bible. I just want to know. I question. I meditate and say, please, I don't know. What's this all about? Sometimes I could not even sleep at night. Sometimes I think into the night, it's just going around in the night. Just trying to find the answers, Lord, what is in the Bible? And it has to be an answer in the Bible. All these old things, and sometimes we miss it because we don't want to know, because of attitude. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 25. Lord, God.
Ephesians 4, 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in ignorance, in accordance with truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. 25. Therefore, each of you must put on falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body.
Right. Paul said, once upon a time, your understanding was darkened because of ignorance, because of blindness of your heart, but you are not so anymore. So learn Christ. You have heard of Him, you have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, put off the old ways, the way of your thinking. Huh? And it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man that is created in righteousness in Christ Jesus. So, isn't it something that is easy to understand? When we are Christian, all things are made new. But if all things are made new, then our mind should be renewed. Paul said, isn't it? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's up here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can never be transformed if the mind still remains the same. I believe in Jesus. I want to be baptized. Lord God, I'm sorry I committed sin. Forgive me. You go to water baptism? But you come out, your mind is not changed. You still think about the old way. Now it's okay, let me go to the pub down in Clark Quay. Huh? Let me, cheat a little. It's alright. People, somebody's money a little bit, doesn't matter. Curse a little bit, doesn't matter. I mean, the mind is not renewed. Because if the Holy Spirit is in you, it must change you. He wants to change you. Oh, but He never hears my prayer. Wait, God didn't hear a prayer. Why? Did you really pray according to His will? Or you pray according to your will? Jesus Christ prayed in the garden. He knew the will of God, but He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to carry the sin of the whole world. He prayed to the Father, He said, any way that I don't have to take this cup, remove it if possible. He prayed first time. I don't know how long he prayed. He came and he saw the disciples sleeping, slumbering. He went back the second time. He prayed again. And third time, what happened to his body? What happened to his whole being? Sweat of blood were coming out of the skin. You know what that is? That showed the man was under stress. Having to make a big decision. And his heart was pumping. Heart was enlarging until the heart broke, literally. It was cracking up. That's how much it is. Until the last prayer, God remained silent. Oh, God doesn't hear my prayer. Why did you remain silent? God remained silent. The Father remained silent because the answer is already there in Scripture. That thou, my son, you must be the sacrifice. You know it. There's no other way. And he said, Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Then the angel came, ministered unto him. We pray in our own desire. And that's why God never answered your prayer. Because the answer that God being silent is because He says no. All you want to hear is a yes. No. Isn't it true? 1 Peter 1:13-16. Wherefore, gird up the loin of your mind. You see, be sober. 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loin of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be obedient, children, not fashioning yourself. Be obedient. Hard to obey anyway. The will of God, the way of God, the words of God. But be obedient, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. In your former lust, you do everything because you were ignorant. You sin because you were ignorant. You do all sorts of things because you were ignorant. But now you're supposed to be a new creature. What are you still going back? Why you're not sober? What's wrong with your mind? Look at Paul. The day that he was a changed man, he gave up everything. He gave up everything. And he seeked the face of God. He went out to the desert for 3 years, all by himself, waiting upon the Lord, and the Lord taught him. The Lord taught him. That's why he gets such great revelation. Next verse. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 John 1:5. 1 John 1:5, 6 and 7. Can someone read with a loud voice? Brother John, read it loud.
1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6.
6 and 7, yeah. Oh.
Sorry, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with
no, you. No. 1 John 1, 5, 6 and 7. 3 verses. 5, 6 and 7.
Chapter 5, right?
Chapter 1, verse 5, 6 and 7.
6 and 7.
Yeah, 1 John 5, 1 John 1, 5.
5
to 7.
1 John 1, verse 5, 6 and 7. Verses, yeah.
This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We say that we have fellowship with him, we can walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with him one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Simple message. So simple that people today don't talk about the denomination, about those in the end time message. They don't even recognize what John was saying here. What is the message of the hour? Oh, Brother Abraham said. What Brother Abraham said. Oh, it's not that. What Brother Abraham taught us, the people was back in 1930 something all the way to 65. The message was so simple. There is not 2,000 messages. Only one message in 2,000 or more sermons. The whole Bible, there's only one message. Do you know that? How many messages are there in the Bible? You may hear many sermons, but there's only one message. And the same message is the same every time. God is light. What is God is light? God is always filled with clarity. When he comes, he brings light. He brings understanding. He brings illumination. He brings revelation. That's why he says, in him is no darkness. What is darkness? Obscurity. Dimness. When you are in the dark, you can't see. When you have dim in a place, you can't see. Ever walk through a fog? Ever walk through a fog? What's on beyond the fog? Huh? Or you're some in darkness. What do you do? And the word darkness here is equivalent to the word tradition. God is light, in him is no tradition. Tradition is obscurity. You know what I'm saying, right? Yes. You follow church tradition. What is it? Paul was following the tradition of the elders. Jesus told the Pharisees, you make the word of God no effect by the tradition of the other. You preach tradition. You make the word of God, you destroy the word of God by your tradition. You preach it that way, it's no effect upon the hearer. They only hear in part, but they do not understand. What did Jesus preach in parable? What did he preach in parable? The disciples said, why do you preach in parable? We don't even understand. A soul went for the soul. Yeah, for the funny ground, a wayside, and good ground. Yeah, we know that. The farmer knows that. For the good ground, for the seed will grow. This is not so simple, right? But it's not about that. And Jesus said, come. You know why? He told them, said, you know why I speak parable? That I might fulfill the word of Isaiah. That in hearing, they think they hear, but they don't understand. But unto you is made known the mystery. So he expounded two parables. So now he asked them, now do you understand? Because if you don't, you will not understand the rest of the parable. As the person, now we understand. Because parables is beyond the ordinary. Parable is beyond this plane. It has a mystery. That's why the prophet speaks like that. That's why Abraham speaks like that. Jesus speaks the same way. Unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. Huh. Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. What? He was not talking about the ordinary. He was talking about the spiritual. The thing that's beyond these natural eyes. That's why the Bible is not for everybody to understand. It's for God's people to understand. And then he said, if we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in tradition, we still hold to tradition, hold to our opinion. What do you say here? Can we lie? We do not have truth. That's right. If we walk in the light, because he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. In the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You see, a lot of people can hear, but they will not listen. They will not receive. Oh, Capernaum. Oh, Tyre and Sidon. Huh? Jesus compared that to what? Oh, Capernaum. If the same thing that has been done here, the thing that you have heard, you have seen, if it done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have received it. And you, judgment comes. Literally, what do you say in the Bible? Matthew 11:21-24. Matthew 11:21-24. Brother Proxy, where do you read that? Law.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 21-24. Woe to you, rather than woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty work which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you and had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you.
That's right. Alright, let me ask you a question. When you come to church, what is your motive? What are your motives in coming to church meeting? You come to church meeting, are you doing it because you are doing God a favor? Huh? Or do you think that by coming to church you think that it pleases God, and that because it pleases God in coming, therefore God owes you a favor? Well, there are people like this, you know. Lord, you know, I go to church this Sunday, alright? You know, I want to please you. So, you know, I have a need. Take care of me, okay? You know, people have this thing going on. Yes, I know. I hear people talk like this in your mind. They talk to me even freely. What are your motive? What are you expecting from God? On your own term? We come to church because what? We love. Huh? Because we are glad. Didn't King David say that? I was glad when he said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. For what? To worship? To fellowship? To hear the word of God? Simple as that. That's all that we do. So don't try to please God by coming to church. Please God because in your heart you love Him. You cannot please your husband and wife. Your children cannot please you if they don't really love you. I have a grandson, I know, you know. You know how children are? I mean, they are innocent. They want something. Ah, grandpa, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's like that. The children. Okay. But we are no longer children. We are matured people now. We are supposed to grow in the grace of the Lord. To know what truth is. Jude, chapter 1, verse 3. Jude chapter 1 verse 3. So I'll read that. Jude.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend with the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
That was written when? That was written in the early church. Contending for the earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But it was then the early church given to them there also. This faith will remain the same. But what happened to it after the early church? 100 years after the apostles died, what happened? It plunged into an age. It plunged into darkness. Satan had crept in through men. And the teaching of Nicolaitans became a doctrine. It controls the church. Satan has entered. And from that time until today, the church will go through a lot of changes. Yes, God has to send, you know, messenger after messenger, just to bring them back a little of this, a little of that. And even when God used Martin Luther was such a mess himself. But we are in our end time. Today, we have the faith restored. Right? We have the faith restored. Hallelujah, everybody is happy. What is the faith restored? We can read Jude 1:3. The wish on is contempt for the faith which was once delivered unto sin. And they said, broadband restored. Okay, broadband restored. What was that restoration? How does it work? What was it all about? What is the message now? Remember John 1:5. God is light, in him is no darkness. This then is the message that God is light, in him is no darkness. Brother Abraham stood in this age. Well, we are past 50 years or more now. When he stood in the 20th century, he was holding a light, a little light. And he was pointing the bride back to what? Come out of her, my people! Come out of what? Come out of that traditional system. Come out of the harlotry system. Come out of her! Go where? You come out, you must go somewhere. Not come out to stand around Brother Branham. No, the messenger of God never pointed himself. And I preached this in Africa and I blew the whole thing apart. A signpost never pointed itself. Ever see a signpost? The altar room. Downtown. This way. The causeway point. Immigration. Is that what a sign say? God shalom? A signpost never pointed to itself. Abraham never pointed to himself. Moses never pointed to himself. They always point back to what? To the world. Come out of her, my people. Back to the world. Back to the world. Have you been? We can restore. In restoration, you must get back to the original. Or else there's no restoration. And we have a mess today. So you come back to the word of God, you get restored. Now when you restore to the word of God, what happened? Is that it? Oh, I come back to the one happy. Is that it? Oh, everything Brother Abraham said is all enough for us. Is that it? Brother Abraham died 65. This is 2017. You mean to say everything that's from that time until now, God never speak anything except in the tape of Brother Branham? War unto you, you Branhamites! I'm hitting out all this for many years, 45 years. We need to understand that the church cannot be perfected other than by the word of God inside here. And how does God do it? How does God do it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. Well, John.
Chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the services, of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until you all attain to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer the children tossed here and there by the wave and carried about by every wind of doctrines, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in the deceitfulness, scheming, by speaking the truth in love, that we are to grow up in all respects unto Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, who being fitted and held together by every joint supply according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the growing up itself in love.
Right. I didn't say that. I didn't write this. Paul did. So you want to argue, Paul? You can go argue with him. If he gets over that time. The perfection of the saints comes through the fivefold ministry. It says the first thing, for the perfecting of the saint. That's the first thing. And it is this fivefold ministry also the work of the ministry, edifying the body. But firstly, what we have? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, in that order. Please don't mess them up. In another place in Corinthians, firstly apostles, secondly prophet, thirdly teacher, right? He put it last on this. Paul did not include the other two. Because that's evangelist and that's the pastor. But Paul here clearly lists up the fivefold ministry. Clearly. You cannot miss that. Don't switch it around. And say, oh, God give firstly teacher. Huh? Secondly pastor. No. Apostle is always the first. And I always say this. If Jesus Christ used parable, and you know in the Bible there's dark and shadows and what? Topologies of them. Come and say. And the Bible says, God said, Paul said, He gives gifts unto men. You give gifts with your hand. I always say this fivefold. Five. The five fingers, are they all the same? They are not. But I have preacher telling me the fivefold ministry, they are all the same. How can it be all the same when they are all different names? Can a teacher be a principal? I know they teach too, right? But the principal is greater than the teacher. Obviously. So what are you messed about? Oh, someone else told me, oh, 20%, 20%. Are they 20%? The Bible said the church is built upon the foundation of the apostle. There are 12 foundations. Do you get it? And we have people out there who are just, I felt that to be a preacher. Good. Then look, that one here in Singapore I told you about. He started his own church because he was upset with the other group. Disagreement. And I asked him, brother, did God call you? Did God ordain you to be a preacher? And he told me, he said, but again, that's personal between me and God. He says, no. Because it wasn't a personal thing between God and Paul. Paul said, I'm an apostle of the Lord. Right? And he said, take heed that I speak to you, they are from the Lord. Huh? So I asked him, if you are called to be a pastor or whatever you identify so. In Africa, they identify. When I was there, we have a minister's meeting. We meet the first time. I said, each one of you stand up and say your name and tell me what God has called you to do. They stood up. I'm so and so. God called me to be an evangelist. I'm so and so. God called me to be a pastor. You identify your ministry. Then people are going to watch your ministry. Whether it comes to pass the way God called you. And I told the brother, since God did not say that, since you, there is a personal thing, means God has not called you. Because God called you, will not hesitate to tell me the truth. But if you feel led to do something for God, because in your spirit you see that you want to do something for God, good, learn. I told him, said learn. But we learn. No, people have their own opinion. People have a strong opinion. That's right. You know, let me tell you something about the Bible. I already told you that about the 12 apostles. I mean, what's that? Not 12 apostles, 12 disciples. Remember 12 disciples? One of them was a rascal. One of them was a betrayer. He got kicked out. Matthias replaced him. These 12 disciples, they walked with Jesus, right? 3.5 years. Who was the big guy? Peter was the big guy. Bostonus, right? Yes. But let me tell you something. Why is it that God never showed Peter more revelation? Why did he not show it to James? Why not even John? How many books did John wrote? Did he write? Gospel of John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. Because he was the only one that God would not allow him to die. Jesus would not allow him to die a martyr death. He died at old age, at about 100 years old. But why did God not show it to Peter, James, John, Thomas, Bartholomew, all the others? Why? Because if you read the Bible very carefully, if you know how to read it very carefully, you know, because they were still in tradition. Yes. So, is that all wrong again? Oh, come on, you read the Bible, you don't know. But the Cornelius, the Gentiles, family came to know the gospel, right? The Jews down in Jerusalem, they don't know what to do. So how could it be that the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles? They were dogs. But Peter said, yeah, I was there. I heard it, they were speaking in tongues. Okay. Let's call for a council. What should we do? What do you call for a council? God never speaks to a group. God speaks to individuals. I wanted you to know that. So they have a council, they debate, right? So in Israel, what they do? But now three laws. Where did that come from? Why did they give the law to the Gentiles? It was not meant to be. Paul was standing there. But he had no say because he wasn't part of the group. Huh? Thou shalt not fornicate, right? Well, you mean the Gentile fornicate, the Jew doesn't fornicate? Thou shalt not eat blood. You mean they say the Gentile eat blood, they don't eat blood. That's why they eat blood. That's why God forbid them to eat blood. Isn't it so? Huh? Keep away from idols. Oh, Gentiles have idols? The Jews don't have idols? Go back to the old forefather. And you see all those things. Right. But you see, Paul was born out of due season. He was a Pharisee, and all that thing. He was so zealous. He was in tradition until God knocked him down when he was on the road to Damascus. Who's that, Lord? I'm Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And then when he went out to that desert for 3 years, that's when Paul really learned, and then he came back and compared the doctrines, the teaching with the apostle in Jerusalem. But then the rest of it, God came on showing to him. And then he preached more and more, they would not accept it because they want to hold on to a tradition. And Peter even played a hypocrisy, huh? Hypocrite, played a hypocrite still. Why? Because he was wanted to hold the tradition. Are we watching the movie Fiddler on the Roof? How do you break forth from tradition? If you don't know the truth about God's word, you will always be in tradition. That's what it is. So how can you have? What do you have? The fivefold ministry, what do you have? Look at your finger. This is the tongue. It's different from the others. No matter how you spread it out like this, this tongue is always up. Holy Spirit is always pointing up. Huh? Try to move this finger upwards. You can't. This is the way that. This finger, middle finger, is your evangelist going forth. Huh? And you can cut off this. You can cut off this, and you still could do with this two finger and this three finger. But if you cut off this other finger, you find it hard to hold your pen. Or you won't hold your spoon. Cut off your thumb and see what happens. You've got to hold your spoon like this, without the tongue. Without the tongue, a lot of things you can't do. Try to remove the apostle. That's why the denomination do not believe anymore in the apostles or prophets. It says all gone. That's their tradition. But not the tradition of God's truth. Let me ask you. How many wounds did Jesus Christ had when he died? How many pierced wounds did he have? Pierced wound. Not lacerated wound, huh? Where he was whipped. Not lacerated where he was crowned. How many wounds there was pierced? Right, huh?
Five.
Two on the hands. I mean, one on each hand. One of each feet. And the side. Are all the wounds equal? When you hang upon a cross like this, who was on the right hand? The thief that says, remember me. What does right hand represent? Her grace. What does left hand represent? Judgment. What does the right foot represent? You look at the book of Revelation. He put his right foot in the sea. He went to the Gentile first to collect the Gentiles before he goes back to the Jew when the left foot goes upon the land, which represents the Holy Land. Because in the Bible, when we talk about the land, there's only one land. And what about the pierced side? The pierced side is different. You pierce it here in your hand, on your feet, blood comes forth. But in that piercing of the side, what came forth? Water and blood. What does the water and blood stand for? He died of a broken heart. He died of a broken heart for who? For his bride. For his bride! For you and me! And he can continue to sin against the Lord! Can we say we are ignorant? Can we go on with that ignorance and continue to hurt our Lord Jesus? Kind of hard. Alright. Today we have a lot of people that just continue in the Branham, all these images. It's terrible. Oh, they have the strong opinion of what Brother Abraham said. Even what the Bible said. Even there are people that say, oh, you know, in the New Testament, he didn't mention about instrument. So why do you have instruments in the church? In the Old Testament, oh yeah, they are instruments. So it's okay for them to have instruments. New Testament, see how they interpret scripture? You heard of that? I think the church is called the Church of Christ. See, that's how they interpret it. Wow. Huh? And what about tithing? Oh, in the New Testament, they know the word tithing doesn't appear. Tithing doesn't appear. Only in the Old Testament. So, no need to tithe. You know who taught that? There are people who are businessmen who think that they are preachers because they already have money, they have business, so they don't need the money. So they are against those preachers out there, especially the Pentecostal, who are bringing money for their own pocket. We know that, right? Charismaticism. So they are preaching that, no, tithing is a sin. And the Bible doesn't talk about tithing in the New Testament. The Bible talks about giving. And I always say this time and time again. Abraham did not give, did not, what do you call, pay tithes to God. He gave. He gave 10% to God. He paid 10% to God. And the Bible tells us that, you know, Abraham followed what the father did. Right? We follow what the father did. He set an example. Jesus set an example. So we follow, man of God. In giving. Right. What about today? There are those who don't believe in feet washing. Denominations don't practice feet washing. They don't have communion that we have in the evening. They only have the Lord's, not the Lord's supper, but the Lord's breakfast. And even the Lord's lunch. Right? The Bible says the Last Supper. It's a supper. It's his last meal. And what kind of bread do they use? Jacob cracked a biscuit. Those uneven of them are leavened bread. No good. Today even churches in the end time said do not believe in feet washing and communion. No need for pastor. They stay at home. Listen to the tape. No need for pastor. Right? They themselves are their own pastor. When they get married, they marry themselves. When they die, they bury themselves. They're everything going to one. People don't have an idea how that they are breaking the very word of God. The Bible says, let us not forget to examine ourselves together as a body of Christ. I mean, there are those who are not fortunate, they don't have a place to go, like Sister Bree, Sister Grati. They can't know all the confusion out there. But they get on to the internet, join us, and listen to the message. And fellowship whatever they can.
You know.
But not stay home and listen to the tale about Brother Branham. God is always on the move. God don't stay. In the days of Brother Branham, was 1950 to the 60s. God has moved. You telling me God is still there in history? Somebody asked me about, remember I talked to you about? Is that time travel? They believe that there is time travel. I already told you. What 1 minute the past is gone. 1 minute, 1 second, there is ahead, hasn't come yet. God is always the I am. Huh? Not the I was or I will be. He's always the I am. But Jesus Christ never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. What he did yesterday, he will do the same today. But he doesn't travel times. No such a thing. Alright, so let us keep in the balance. Don't be like the Jew who was confused with the Torah and the Talmud and they hold on to this tradition. And the Chinese, what they call the yin yang. No, the yin yang. You don't know the yin yang, right? The black and the white thing, you know? Hot, cold. Heatiness, coolness. Right? You go to a Chinese sensei, TCM, you know, he'll treat you. Oh, your body is too cold. You need to heat up, get it heated up. And so the dispense this and that. This you cannot eat, that cannot eat. They are all just guidelines. But if you are legalistic, even you are extreme, you get into trouble. I want to tell you this. Even doctors are never perfect. Medical science have been learning this, and now they discover a lot of things contrary to what they knew. So what do we do? What do we do? Listen to your own body. Listen to your own body. What do you require your body feel that you should take a rest? Rest. The body will tell you. Don't be extreme and you get into trouble. Many times. Titus chapter 1 verse 5. For this cause I love you in Greek. I love you in Greek that thou should send in order the things that are wanted. And ordain elders in every city that are appointed. Now Paul had an authority. He told Titus. Now I want to tell you something here about the fivefold ministry. A lot of people still don't believe it. Few people understood it. I want to tell you this. God always had a way of channeling the truth. Remember the angel in the stars in the hand of the mighty angel book Revelation? Seven star. That is exclusive. Right? Yes. But the gift that God, that Jesus gave to the church, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, is for the church. Alright? For the perfecting of the church. But the stars in the right hand of Jesus Christ was sent to all those seven church ages. To put the people in the place that they should be. That's why Paul and Brother Branham were the different ones. The first and the last. In between, the five are different. They are reformation. They are reformer, we will say. This one had, the first one was Paul. He laid the foundation. Is that right? Right. Foundation was destroyed, more or less scattered out. All this was sent to try to bring the people back to the world. Brother Branham finally said, get out of it. Get out of all this madness. Come back to that. You'll find answer here. He's gone. Seven star is gone. He's gone. What happened now? He has come back to the world. So let us enter the world. That's when the fivefold ministry can do the work. And the fivefold ministry comes from heaven above, through the apostle, down the world, this way. Huh? If you think because you're a pastor, you think you know more than an apostle, you've got to be sorry. I haven't seen one. Because God has His way of operation. That's why Paul said to Titus. Who was Titus? Titus was the one who was a disciple. He wanted to be a preacher also. Paul taught him. Paul trained him. And he told him, now, you stay in the island of Crete while I leave. And the church is there. You set those things that are lacking. Set them in order. Because Titus was trained, was a disciple of Paul. And Paul even included him as an apostle. What about Timothy? 1 Timothy 1:3. We're going to close in the next few verses. 1 Timothy 1:3. As I besought thee to abide also, still in Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou might charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to favor, endless genealogy, which ministers question other than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of commandment is charity out of pure heart, of a good conscience of faith and fame, for which some having swayed have turned aside into vain jangling, designed to be the teacher of the law, understanding neither what they said or whatsoever, nor whereof they affirm. But it's true, isn't it? Huh? Some people like to talk about all unnecessary things in which favor. And in the last verse, designed to be teacher of the word of God. But what do they know? They don't even know what they are saying. Like the fiddle on the roof. I don't know why you have seen the fiddle on the roof. Have you? The good book say, as the good book say, you know, it doesn't record things that was not in the Bible. That's true, isn't it? But people just think and they know. I have a friend who told me, you know, the Bible said this. Of course, this is not true. It's not there. But it just somehow, you know, met some religious people, hear something, he took that it's from the Bible. But these people are claiming to be teachers of the Lord of God, the Word of God. But they don't know what they are saying. And remember one thing. A lot of ministers are going to stand before God one of these days. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23 is coming to pass. Those three verses are my favorite verses that I use and warn the preacher. Huh? They said to the Lord, oh, you know, Lord, we have preached the gospel, we do many wonderful work, I cast off devils, I cure the sick, blah, 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 blah. Many thousands of people come to the gospel. Jesus said, I never knew you. You are workers of iniquity. Ha! Ever heard about the word iniquity? Once again, we hear the word of iniquity. What is the word of iniquity? What does it mean, iniquity? What is iniquity? More than sin. The only one word that God hates the most. The sin that God hates the most of all sins. Because the word iniquity is a sin that put the person who believes in you on an uneven level. Right? Like the sin that Abraham committed against his wife Sarah. Tell Amalek, tell the Pharaoh that I'm your brother. Because he was afraid to die. So what happened? The Pharaoh took her? What happened if they were married? Wouldn't it be unfair to Sarah? Wouldn't it be unfair to Pharaoh? Who causes that? Abraham. Huh? So a lot of preachers are doing that. They think they know the word of God. They preach word that are not true. They preach tradition. They preach ideas that they have. And put the listener who believe in them in the wrong place with the word of God. And that's what they are doing out there. In the denomination churches, out there in the Brahma churches. That's what they have. Brother Man is coming back again. You know that? He's going to fly the helicopter. He's going to fly the airplane. He's going around the world and preach again. Really? But they believe in that. And people are hoping for that. They miss out the truth. Because tradition, the strong idea of man, lies. Last passage. 1 Timothy 1:18. These I charge unto you, son Timothy. Now Paul called Timothy his son because he learned. Timothy learned from Paul. According to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus, Alexander, whom I deliver unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Wow, there are people just like that. And Paul will hit it out against them for blaspheming, lying the word of God. 1 Timothy 6:20, last verse. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to you, your trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of signs falsely so called. Well, a lot of people think that they know even signs, huh? Oh, I know the Bible, see this, that, blah, blah, blah. Oh, vain babbling, profane babbling, no truth. So a lot of people need to take heed. Don't think you know what you do not know. The Bible talks about the Word of God. It talks about the works of God. If you talk about the Word that you believe in, then let us see your work. That's what James said. What? You show me your faith, and I'll show you mine with my works. Right? I'll manifest you my faith. So what does faith do to you? What does faith do? Faith is a seed that can grow in you. Therefore, it must bring forth fruit. That's right. And our mind must be enlightened to the Word of God. Because in God is light. In God is everything. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you for thy word. Break further now to us, O Lord, that we may see your wonderful work in our life. We thank you, Father. Bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Leave that palm. We're going to have our communion. Roger? Brother John? Let us pray for the bread. Heavenly Father, in that night when our Lord Jesus was betrayed into the hands of sinners, he was with a disciple and he took bread. He gave thanks to it and he broke it. And he told the disciple, take, eat it. For this is my body, which is broken for you. So far right now, Lord, we pray that as this bread is broken, may we, Father, rejoice. Rejoice, Lord, because of the death of Jesus Christ. Because without his death, without his body being broken, we have been not part of you. We will be not a part of our Lord and Savior. We will not be a part of the world. So Father, bless this bread now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So pray for this cup at the same time. Father, the same night our Lord Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup in my blood is the New Testament. New Testament in my blood which was shed for you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that which he spoke. And we are also thankful that after when you went to Gethsemane, he went through a hard time, Father, fighting against all that oppression of all that load of sin that was to be poured upon him, the sins of the world. And yet, Father, he fought through to fulfill thy will. That in the shedding of blood at Calvary, we have the promise of a propitiation for our sin. And we are thankful, Lord, for that which came from his side, water and blood. Water for the cleansing, by the word of Christ, for he is the word of God made manifest. Blood for the remission of what happened, Father, of the sin that were committed by Adam and Eve. And we know, Lord, by the blood, the propitiation is made and take care of that sin. But we thank you for thy water of the word that we receive every day as we walk with you and as we learn of you that our sin is being cleansed away from our, washed away from our life, Father. So we ask for your grace right now, let this come. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.